Good morning, Bridge family. Welcome to God's space, God's place in your life and in ours. And thank you for welcoming us into your living room or wherever you find yourself today. I am Pastor Nathan Strobel, privileged to be a part of the Bridge at St. Paul's, privileged to have two roles today, your host pastor for the Bridge, but also your preacher as Pastor Pete's covering all of the traditional services across the way. Just some housekeeping things for us as we get started today. The thought of how can we help you in your journey through, ongoing journey through COVID-19 and your desire to help others in our community. Well, you can reach out to us working with me or with Sally Wallner as we reach out to our community. Maybe we can help you, maybe you can help us serve our community. You can do that outreach with Sally today, even online, as she's our Facebook Live host. And I am, again, privileged to be the host pastor. But Sally's our connecting person to our community, congregation to community, community back. So please reach out to her in the course of the day. For prayer requests, stpaulsmuskego.org is your place to go to send us an email that will come directly to our office staff and to us as pastors. If you need someone to talk to on this ongoing, these weeks and months of COVID-19 and all of the stress in our world, reach out to any four of us pastors, Pastor Bonach or me, or Pastor Keel and Pastor Panitsky. You call the church office number, it goes to our voicemail, we get an email to our phones, and we reach out to you pretty quickly with that approach. If you are interested in supporting the ministry of St. Paul's, or if you've been giving to this ministry, we thank you for that and encourage you to keep on helping support the work that we are doing to share the good news of Jesus with our world. Ways to give online, stpaulsmuskego.org, Facebook and Instagram, ways that you can give to St. Paul's and to this ministry. And also be ready to follow along throughout the week. Pastor Pete continues his daily devotions either through email or through video format, so watch that coming across. If you're not getting them and would like them, send us your email address and we'll add you to the list. And finally, a thought on Bible class. Right now I have two Zoom classes going for Following the Promise. Following the Promise is a way to membership at St. Paul's or just a chance to review the amazing message of Jesus as our Savior. Right now I have between 30 and 40 people who are online for Following the Promise, and I have a young man in Mississippi, a young man in Alabama, some people up in Sturgeon Bay, some people in Kenosha, and it's growing. It's a class that you can catch up with because the videos are online. They can send you the link, and you can also dive in live as you would like. We also have a young adult Zoom group at St. Paul's. Mike Wessendorf is leading tonight and in 2 weeks, and then Jill Dunbar, the two of them are facilitating this class for young adults 18 to 25. So check out the information on this slide as I buy you some time. Take a picture with your phone, whatever it takes to capture that, and then watch for it again at the end of the service as we close with our announcements as well. The band is coming at you today with four songs. The slides are there for you on the screen. If you want to get those lyrics up ahead of time and think about them, be ready to sing your way through and pray your way through would be awesome. And finally, today I again am your preaching pastor. Mike Wessendorf is today's band leader, bringing our band with their gifts and talents to the glory of God and to help support our worship. We continue our worship series, our message series today that goes through June 28th, entitled Pentecost Potential. You think of that word potential, the word potent is in there, power. Pentecost potential is celebrating the Spirit's work and expanding our view of how great God's love is for us, and also expanding our view of how great God's love can be through us to our world. And that really is the focus today for us, Pentecost potential, the power of perfect love that we learn from our God. Pentecost potential, to the glory of Jesus. And now with those thoughts, let us throw it the way of Mike and the band to kick us off this morning in praise of our God.
Oh, good morning, Bridge. Good morning and welcome to those of you guys who are online as well. It's great to have you guys here. It's great to be able to be in person again. You know, we are practicing social distancing. The cameras will be able to see that a little bit. You can see how we're prepared for that. We can have up to about 125, 150 people in this space. We have the air handling units that are able to move air. The doors are open over on the side as well. And so we've got plenty of space, actually. So if you are thinking about coming on back and being able to sit in person and be able to join us, it would be great to have you guys here. But also, again, just wonderful to be able to reach out into your living room and to be a part of your worship of the King of Kings today. How are you all doing today? Actually, I just want to have you guys be a little bit louder so that the people online know that the Bridge is in the house today. So good morning, Bridge.
I love it.
Amen. All right, so we're here. We're beginning, as Pastor Nate mentioned. He's going to be both our host and our preaching pastor here today. And we're going to begin with a couple of songs that remind us who we are in Christ. And because of who we are in Christ, what we can bring before the Lord, all of our hurts, all of our worries, all of our joys, all of our hopes. So we're going to sing a couple of songs. I'm going to have you guys, I didn't do it last week because I don't think, you know, having you guys stand will make you out of breath, I'm assuming, right? So why don't we stand and we're going to sing our first song.
Sun sets free, always free and
That's who God says I am. I'm a child of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Important for us to be able to remember the times that we live in, and we'll be talking a lot about Christian love today, about the Father's love for us. And it has to be what we draw on in the times that we live in. Always, but emphasize so much more. An era where social media and news media wants to show you how divided we are and how there's just the idea of unity is hopeless. There's a truth that we all know in our heart called the theological ideas of natural knowledge of God. Man, I'm not perfect. All of the not perfect people here, are you guys online too? Just raise your hand. All the non-perfect people here, just good and high. I'm not proud of this, but I'm just admitting it. That this is where we begin. And we can say that because our Father in heaven doesn't come with the hammer of the law. He comes with the heart of the gospel. Because before I could ever even understand what grace meant, He was already bending toward me. Grace gives us a heavenly Father. And that heavenly Father invites us into a space of confession. And this song, you say, captures it so well. And as we prepare our hearts for Pastor Nate's message, let's just begin with a prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the world hurts. The world is broken. It needs a unity. And the only thing that we're united in really is just our utter, utter need for a Savior. For a God who is so much more than anything that we could possibly be. Thank you for being that God. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have poured out your grace, your forgiveness on your people, on all people. Now, Holy Spirit, move in and through your word as it goes out to the world and in our broken places, in our hearts and in our country, in our communities and our families. May the light of the gospel, the fact that you have forgiven me, be something that draws us close to you and gives us the strength. And then step into the world with a heart that forgives others so that people would see and know the grace of God, not the condemnation of the law. Help us to know how to walk that line, following in Jesus' footsteps. And all God's people said, thank you. Amen. You may be seated.
Bridge. God's grace, His mercy, and His peace belong to you and me in these trying times because of the work of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, Amen. Let us hear the words of God from Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. As we pick up the thought of Pentecost potential, the power of perfect love. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." These are the words of our God, and we pray. O Lord, may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And God's people say, Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, Chris wanted nothing more than to save his marriage. His wife was the Christian. Chris really didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. Yet what Chris knew was that his marriage was falling apart. That he had neglected her and the kids. But he had been just doing what everybody does, pursuing what he wanted to do in life. And wasn't she doing the same thing? She was all about the kids. Oh yes, they had been growing emotionally distant, but that's what he saw in his parents' marriage, and isn't that the normal? Over time, you grow emotionally distanced. And all of us married today, we ponder that thought. Isn't that life, how life goes? But he knew that Rachel had come and talked to me about their marriage and the fact that she wanted to file for divorce. And all of a sudden, for Chris, the light bulb came on in his head because he knew he did not want to lose what he had. And he knew that Rachel was guided by her faith in her God. And so all of a sudden he thought, well, if she went to her pastor, maybe I can go and get some help from him too. And so all of a sudden Chris is in my office. "Pastor, I understand Rachel came and talked to you. Can I talk to you? Pastor, how do I keep what I have? How do I keep Rachel and my kids? How do I keep what I have, Pastor? She listens to you. Can't you stop this? Isn't like divorce wrong, sinful, something like that? Can't you stop it?" Chris asked. Now, mind you, This scenario was a long time ago. I think my third year in ministry. But I can tell you that my response to Chris, well, it began with a smile. And it was framed something like this. I am happy to hear, Chris, that you are giving some thought to your marriage and to your relationship with Rachel. Because, Chris, know that perfect love is a thinking thing. But now, Chris, let me introduce you to our God, because it's from our God that we learn how to love. It's from our God that we learn how to think. You know that when God created us, he created us for greatness, right? You know that. The Holy Spirit inspiring us to Pentecost potential tells us that on the sixth day of God's creation, God determined that he was going to create mankind. And the Spirit tells us that God deliberated with himself, thought about how to create us. The Bible tells us that he called forth from the dust all of the animals, but for us, the crown of his creation, the Lord was going to do something special to form us from the ground. But it began even at a greater place than that, as the Lord God deliberated with himself. The triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a conference with himself. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule, the Bible says. Though creatures like the other animals, we were made to be different than the animals. We were made for dominion, for management. And so God, in love with thinking, made us like himself. He made us in his image, like God. Now you and I might be thinking, well, boy, if we're helping God rule his creation, that's a pretty important gig. And that maybe this image of God is somehow a skill set that we need to rule the earth with him. Authority, power, status, stature, skill set, status, somehow packed into us, right? Have you ever been involved in hiring and firing in your line of work? And has it ever happened that you hired, that you did not hire the best candidate quality, qualification-wise, you did not hire the best candidate for the position? And maybe it was because there was a character flaw you discovered in them. Rather like the person who was conducting an interview with the candidate for one of the higher positions in his company, and he or she gets called out of the office by their office assistant, only to return a few minutes later, coming quietly in the back door of the office and seeing the candidate for the job, their hand coming out of the candy jar with the candies for all, and a big hand going into the purse or into the pocket of that candy, and you were going to hire that person to manage for you, to manage for your employees, to manage for your customers. You were. And now we're touching on what is truly the image of God. When God created us for greatness in his image was not really a skill set for doing, but a heart set for loving. A heart set for loving. Selfless service with a smile. You first and only first. You see, the Bible defines the image of God as being holy, without sin, and wanting only what God wants, because the will of God is love, because God is love. And God's will is always looking for the good of the other ahead of self. Think of what the psalmist says in Psalm 89. This is Ethan the Ezrahite. And he says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty. There's the skill set. But notice, you are mighty and your faithfulness surrounds you. Our God is faithful to himself, and therefore he is faithful to us because our God is love. Our God is love, and he is holy. And see, he will always be faithful to you and me. And for him, then, perfect love is a thinking thing. How do I love my creatures? How do I, as God, love? Now, do you and I, do we miss the image of God in mankind, in our world, and maybe sometimes in ourselves? The image of God being no sin and wanting only what is God's will for the good of others. And we might think to ourselves, well, what? The image of God missing? Where is it? What happened to it? Why don't we see more of God in our world? Well, when the focus of our first parents shifted off of the giver of the gifts and focused on loving me first for the sake of the gifts, we lost everything. Do you remember what happened? Well, the devil who first loved himself above the Creator and fell into sin and under God's judgment. Well, the devil came into the garden, the place God had made for Adam and Eve, the place we touched on last week. And the devil wanted nothing more than to spoil God's creation, to get revenge on his Creator by taking us down with him. And so Satan came into the garden with some thinking about the love of God. And he said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which God had said to Adam and Eve, do not eat of it or you will surely die. The devil said this, you will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But wait a minute. Perfect love is a thinking thing. Adam and Eve were already like God, made in his image. There was nothing to be gained by doubting him, by doubting his love. But the devil put into their mind, God is hiding something from you. If you eat of the tree, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. And Adam and Eve deliberated those statements of Satan. They called into question God's love. And they found God lacking. And they sinned against God and took of the fruit and plunged themselves and the world into the judgment of sin. So do you and I miss the image of God in mankind? Imagine what the world would be like if you first was how we all rolled all the time. If love truly was perfect and a thinking thing, how do I best love others and serve others? When our kids were little, one of the lines that, the questions that came out of my wife's mouth more often than not as mom was looking at our little ones and saying, who are you loving more right now? Are you loving others more than yourself? And the sinful nature in our children and sometimes in me just rebelled against that because those are course-correcting questions, aren't they? Course-correcting questions when it comes to the love of God. You see, perfect love is rather simple. Who are you loving right now, yourself or others? Are you loving others more than yourself? Think of how valuable that would be for our nation right now. In all the discussions that are ongoing in the media and in our households as we watch the news, more and more dissension, more and more hatred, more and more struggle. But imagine if we all thought and were able to think about perfect love being a thinking thing. What truly is right and what truly is wrong to think and to do in the name of peace and of justice. perfect love is a thinking thing that comes from the image of God, holy, and a will that wants only God's. And we may ask ourselves, do we miss the image of God? Was there more of the image of God in years past? Was there more faith? But now we get a little bit ahead of ourselves. Truth be told, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, God missed his image in us as well. This selfless love in service to others. And God knew the pain that was coming our way. And God knew the punishment that he must bring to be just in his love. And so God, in his love, had a conversation with himself. God determined to save us from the predicament we had gotten ourselves into. And so as the A-team of perfect love, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Father had a, and Son and Holy Spirit had a conference as well and deliberated among themselves. Listen to the results of their divine conversation from 1 Peter 1, opening verses. Peter writes, "To God's elect," that's you and me, "the chosen of God, the believers. To God's elect, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the making holy work, the bringing to faith work of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, the Gospel, and the Word of God and the means of grace. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood." Each member of the triune God had and has a role in our salvation, in saving you and me. We probably know it best from John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You first. That idea came from God. Paul says in Romans, God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. God said, "You first," and he taught us how to love. And it is, my friends, a thinking thing. Perfect love is a thinking thing. You know, many of us here today probably grew up in the Lutheran Church. And we probably had it drilled into us that Jesus' suffering on the cross won for us the forgiveness of sins and restored to us the image of God. Maybe we memorize this passage where Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone believes, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." By faith, you and I are forgiven in Jesus Christ. By faith, you and I are saints of God. We are holy people, the Lord says. The image of God is restored to us, and we have eternal life. Now, maybe it was just me, but somehow in my growing up, there was a little bit of a disconnect between having the image of God, being saved forever through faith in Jesus, and the rest of my living. Saved by faith in Jesus, check. Holy before God, check. And then in confirmation class, we just kind of moved on to the commandments that came across to me as these things that we now have to do for God, not to be saved, but because we are saved, and we just simply have to do them. And somehow along the way, it seemed to me, as I look back, that we left behind the heart of the image of God, that God created us to be like him, in his love and in his will and in his holiness. And that his commandments are a way for us to be like him in his love. What did God say in the beginning? "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule." God made us in his image, like him with perfect love, equipping us to rule his creation with him, to serve his creation with him. You see, the image of God is not just holiness restored to us so that we know we have eternal life forever with God in heaven. The image of God is God's gift to us so that we are equipped to love here in this world too. And that's what the commandments are all about. Not a have-to list, a to-do list that I have to do, but a list of ways that I can think about how to love people. For the heart of perfect love comes from our God and is a thinking thing. Think of what Paul says in Colossians. He says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." God gave us his commandments to inform us. To inform us on what love looks like and sounds like in our day-to-day life as we love him and as we love each other. The commandments remind us that perfect love is a thinking thing. It's not a passive thing. It's a thinking thing. It's not a passive thing, it's a planning thing. God's perfect love and plan guarantees us heaven through faith in Jesus who died for our sins. But God's perfect love and plan is a blueprint for how to love each other in this world and make a difference in people's lives. You know, perfect love is not possible without pondering our God. So the first thing that I did for Chris was to share with him God's love for him in Christ, God's forethought, planning to save Chris and all the world in the blood of his son, Jesus. I shared with Chris the forgiveness of sins. I shared with Chris the restoration of the image of God, holy and wanting only what God wants. And then God began to reshape Chris's heart. You see, God made Chris a member of the family of God. God made Chris a member of our congregation. And God made Chris a man of God who knew God's love for him, that he was holy now too before his God through the forgiveness of sins. And he had reason to trust his God. And so Chris became heaven-bent on making decisions that were pleasing to God to love his Rachel, to begin to rebuild their relationship. Not to the glory of himself and what he wanted, but to the glory of God and what God wanted. And Chris came to understand that perfect love truly is a thinking thing. But then ask yourself, perfect love is a thinking thing. Is it that simple? Is it that easy? Yes, but no. You see, perfect love, first and foremost, is a believing thing. Once Chris came to realize that Jesus had died for his sins, the sins of the neglect of his marriage, the neglect of loving his wife, the neglect of loving his children, once he realized that Jesus' plan to love overcame his plan to sin and that Jesus had died for him, love for God was born in Chris's heart. He saw heaven and he wanted to be different here in this world. You see, when we trust the author of forgiving love, when we trust the author of perfect love, we begin to think like the author of perfect love. We begin to listen to his words. And we begin to make a difference in this world one person at a time, one decision to love at a time. We learn to trust his word, his will, his ways, and his love in us is born. Amen. We pray. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you today grateful for the view into your relationship as our triune God. Heavenly Father, it seems that when it came to the things that really matter, the creating of this world for us your creatures. Be equipping us for serving you in this world to help rule this creation. And then when it came to saving us from our sin, when we turned our back on you and turned our back on trust in you, you as a triune God and as the Father, you called a conference for all things important. When you created us, you got together. And when you decided to save us from our sin, you got together. And Father, you put in plan the motion with a heart to forgive. Son of God, you came into this world, put into motion the plan to die for our sin, to give us life eternal. And Holy Spirit, you are with us in this room today as the power behind the church, through the Word of God preached and through your sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper. As you declare to us, our sins are forgiven, that heaven is ours again. But Heavenly Father, you haven't stopped there. You've given us the image of God to know that we are forgiven and saved, but you've also given us your image again to be able to love as you have loved. You have equipped us to help us be difference makers in your world. So Heavenly Father, as we look at the world around us and we see the struggle and we see the hatred and we see the dissension and it brings burden onto our hearts and minds and into our lives, help us to grab hold of the opportunity to make a difference. To know that it's one person at a time in my daily life, day after day after day, help me to love as you have loved. You first. And when people don't understand that, give me the strength to share your love for us in Jesus. So thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you have taught us that perfect love is a thinking thing. Help us to think each and every day how to love you and how to love our world. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to hear the prayer that your Son taught us, the prayer that gathers together all the thoughts of your people and prays the things of utmost importance, our Lord's Prayer. We pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, that we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. And together we say, amen.
Sing but don't have love, I waste my breath with every song I bring, an empty voice, a hollow noise. If I speak with a silver tongue, convince a crowd that don't have love, I leave bitter taste with every word I say. So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. How you lived, how you died, love is sacrifice. So let my life be the proof of your love.
The proof of your love. but don't love. I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all of his mysteries and making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith to say that a mountain jump and it jumps, but don't love, I'm nothing. If I give all I own to the poor, or even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but don't have love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what we say, no matter where we go, no matter what we believe, we are bankrupt without love.
So let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of. Let my life be the proof of your love. Let my love look like you and what you're made of.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for being a part of worship today at the Bridge of St. Paul's. Thank you for the band for all the work they've been doing for us today. They're going to close out in a moment. Yeah, round of applause for the band now. They have one more song to close out for us today, and we'll get to them in just a moment. But words for you on the screen, or the titles for you have been on the screen for you to see. But also know that if you are in need of assistance in the course of this COVID-19 pandemic time and the ongoing dissension and factions and rioting in our nation, feel free to reach out to Sally Wollner as a way to connect to St. Paul's and to this ministry. And if you'd like to be a source of help for people, she's a great conduit to connect you as well. Prayer request to us, stpaulmuskego.org /contact us. We'd be happy to put you on our prayer list and prayer chain. Need to talk with one of us as the pastors, feel free to call the church office number and pick one of the voicemails, and we get an email directly to our phone connecting, and we can connect with you very quickly. Also, ways to give online. We have had wonderful support of God's people to keep this ministry of Jesus going at St. Paul's. So feel free to go on to stpaulsmuskego.org/give, and we can guide you through that process. If you are interested in doing some Bible study online, I have two Following the Promise classes going on right now. We have people who are part of that class all the way from Alabama to Mississippi to Sturgeon Bay to Kenosha, right to our own backyard. And it's a way that you can spend time in God's Word at your pace. I can send you links to it with past lessons, and you can take them at your leisure. So keep that in mind. Yes?
Just you guys all know, it's like, what is he doing? Who's he talking to? So I'm going to give you some context of what's happening here, because some of you guys weren't here last week, and I'll have to probably remind us all, but what you're seeing is us happening live. You know that there are literally, you know, dozens of other people who are worshiping with you right now, how cool that is. And so when we were putting this together, the idea is that not only is Pastor Nate talking to people who are online, but he's also in this closing announcement. These are our announcements as well, too. So just know that when he's talking, it's not just out there to the World Wide Web and the people who are online, but it's also all of us who are in the house, too, because we want to say hi to all the people who are online with us, right? So just in case you were wondering. So I was going to say, no. Pastor Nate, I love that you're Following the Promise class is being Zoom, because I have a friend that I have forgotten to invite 3 weeks ago. So I'm so grateful to know that all of your stuff is recorded and that they can still jump on and be part of the community that's Following the Promise. So,
well, I appreciate Mike popping in like that, because to be honest, as we are growing in this new form of ministry, there's so many hats that we're wearing that sometimes you're like, boy, but Mike and all of us together have worked, how do we make this fluid? Give us a month or two yet, and it'll just be a fluid thing. Bringing in the online worship, with the people who are here, and that we stay aware and cognizant of the fact that our church family is growing online and here. So thank you for popping in and making that clear to all of us, because my brain was like, I got to get through slides and announcements, get to the band and throw it back their way. I feel like a weather guy, but I'm not. I'm a preacher guy. So Mike's the weather
guy.
Leave
that to me, sir.
There you go. All right. So that said, Pastor Pete's daily devotions online, either video coming your way or email almost every day. And by the way, if the image of God has piqued your curiosity, Pastor Pete's version of Genesis 1, 26 to 28 being preached across the way right now online for you to watch, and he takes it through all the way through Scripture. And that's not where the Spirit took my brain and my heart. But I would encourage you to go online, stpaulsmuskego.org, and find his message from the traditional service as well, and expand your mind and thoughts more on the image of God. That said, I'm throwing it the band's way. And we are so blessed to have the band with us, so blessed to have more and more of God's people being involved with this production than ever before, with a heart of love for Jesus to serve him and our world with the gospel. So close us out.
It's a nice thought, too. There is a lot of people who are helping serve, and I just want you to see what love looks like. Could all of you guys who are helping serve today, could you guys just stand up real quick? Yeah, amen. We are so grateful to have so many people that are helping out, and this is a third of the team, because we've got more people who are helping out too that are taking the day off. And we would like to be able to give our good people some time off, and that means we need to have more people be involved. Not only what's happening exciting here, but also at the sanctuary, which we've got technology upgrades that are happening there too. And so if you've always wanted to learn a new skill, email me, mwestendorf@stpmuskego.org. You can find that information online as well. But if you want to serve and be the love of God to people and be a part of this team, let us know, because it does take a team to be able to do it well. One thing remains, and that's love. Pastor Keel, one of our pastors here, had mentioned it's interesting that now these three remain. You remember what they are? Faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. And he made the comment that, you know, it's because faith and hope you won't need in heaven. Mic drop. Because in heaven, we will be able to be made in that image of God, remade, the ability to love, to submit, to serve, to be patient, kind. And the cool thing is, not only will I be able to do it, but you'll be able to do it too. So that's what we're kind of thinking about when we sing this song. One thing remains, especially in the times that we live. May God bless us as we go out to serve the world. Let's stand and we'll sing the song. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. How high is it? Well, it's higher than the mountains that I face. How strong? And it's stronger than the power of. How steady is your love? And it's constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies. May God richly bless you guys and your ministries. You step out into the world. We're going to play you guys out. You guys can talk, especially if you could do that outside. It would be great to be able to see everybody catch up. I see you all. I see you all. I see you all. We'll be able to step off and in a little bit if you want to talk to any of us. If you would like to be a part of what's happening, then I invite you to stick around a little bit. We have a debrief that we do as a team afterwards. And so if you would like to learn more and to see something of what it feels like to be part of this team, stick around for a little bit. We'll be socially distanced, and we talk about what happened here. So God be with you. We will see you again next week.